We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sweeney Murdy joins us to talk Yankee baseball. Thanks for getting up early, Sweeney. His report is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Interstate Batteries, every battery for every need. And by Wallhauer's Paint and Design. Wallhauer Paint and Design celebrating 100 years. Visit shop.wallhauer.com. Well, Sweeney, nice come-from-behind victory for the Yankees. And, Ken Davidoff has a piece in the Post today about Gio Urshela, the glue that holds the team together, which is probably a better expression in baseball than the straw that stirs the drink. But, Urshela, you can make arguments about most valuable player on these teams with Gerrit Cole and DJ LeMahieu, but Urshela's real important, no?
Well, I mean, he kind of came out of nowhere a couple of years ago when the Yankees had the third base issue and because of the injuries, and all of a sudden, a lot of people, I think, want to try to say, well, this person deserves credit, that person deserves credit. Gio Urshela is kind of a little bit of luck. He was signed as a minor league third baseman. He was signed to play at AAA, and when the injury to Miguel Andujar happened a couple of years ago, all of a sudden he's thrust into the starting role because that's who they had at AAA playing third base. And he had made a couple of adjustments the year before, turned into a better hitter, and just carried that over and took off. Most of that credit goes to Urshela, but he slid in there at third base when the Yankees had an issue. They've had some problems this year just with roster construction where they don't have a great backup shortstop option on the roster all the time. Tyler Wade was down at the time. They slid Urshela over there, and that was not a problem. He's been hurt with some knee issues lately, and that's why he didn't start last night. So it was it was kind of a roll of the dice last night to bring him off the bench. The pinch hitting has not been very effective at all for the Yankees this year. They didn't have a hit. They've come to bat 10 different times pinch hitting. They've gotten a few walks, but they haven't gotten a hit. Last night, can't do much better than a 3-run homer in a pinch hit spot. And it's one of those games where there's a handful of these games all year where you win a game like that with a big 3-run homer late when you're trailing. And that was a big spot. The fact that he's able to play a couple of those different positions and be one of these guys that is kind of an exception, Richard. He puts his bat on the ball, and he's able to drive in runs. He's not flashy, but he plays good defense. I think that's a good way to describe him because he's able to do a lot of different things that stick out for you.
Yeah, and even though it's funny, the Yankees have taken two out of three, they've won series, but they lose the last game to Tampa 9-1, then they come into Baltimore, and you figure, okay, they got to get right back on the train, and they're losing, and you go, yeah, here we go again, win two, lose two, and that's why, even though it's against the Orioles and whatever, it's kind of a nice win from momentum if you believe that that's more than the next day's pitcher, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, overall, they've been playing really well. They've won 12 out of 16, and they've pitched really, really well. I think the thing that, it's funny because every time the Yankees lose, I've had this discussion with people, every time the Yankees lose, it's not just a loss. It's a loss highlighted by a flaw that is going to destroy their season or come back and be what defeats them in the playoffs. So it's hard to take any loss the right way. And if they had lost that game last night, be talking about inability to get big hits, shut down by the Orioles pitching staff, a guy with a 6 ERA. and kind of it was the home run, all or nothing. And it was last night, but that's what they needed last night in the seventh inning, was the home run. But because that happens, you kind of lose sight of the wins and how they're getting them. And it's because of their pitching staff, which has a lot of questions coming in. And Jameson Taillon still hasn't really gotten consistent yet. And maybe that's going to take a little bit longer, given how much time he's had off. But everybody else is pitching well. And it's the offense that is still struggling in kind of an age where offense is struggling. The Yankees are built to hit, and they're not. They have a couple of guys that are, and everybody else is struggling mightily still. So they have some issues there. They have some injury issues to deal with that have all kind of popped up here, and they're all a little nebulous, you know, with Hicks being unsure with Hicks and Stanton out last night, and Torres still, you know, a few days away. So it's not like there are long-term things that have destroyed you and you have to find quick fixes. You kind of just have to manage through this. And until the Yankees start hitting, like really hitting, Richard, I don't think anybody is going to look at them and say, okay, these are the Yankees, they're back. And I don't know when that's going to happen. You know, you've got a lot of guys. You've reached almost 40 games here. You're at a quarter pole, and you've got, you know, any given night, you've got five or six guys hitting under 200 and underperforming. And, you know, LeMahieu still hasn't taken off yet. Stanton and Judge are having really good seasons to this point. But otherwise, you know, it's kind of a hit here and hit there every night that's getting it done. You're playing these close games, and the Yankees haven't become what, you know, the Bronx Bombers that you're used to seeing here, but they are still winning games because they're pitching well.
And it's only 40 games, but I'm starting to wonder if we're not seeing almost a paradigm shift in baseball. I mean, it's too early to say that, but I'm looking at a lot of teams. You look at the Mets, you look at the Rays, on and on, of teams that aren't hitting and aren't scoring runs. And I don't know whether it's the baseball is a little deader or pitchers are better or what's going on, but it seems that there are a lot of teams that are really struggling who you look at the back of their baseball cards and you go, wow, this team should be a juggernaut. They should be putting a lot of runs on the board, and they're not.
There are a lot of different reasons for it. I mean, certainly, you know, the pitching velocity with the ball and everything like that is a factor there. You know, and we've talked about, you know, you really can't, you're in a different time right now where you really can't measure it against all the old standards. You know, the starting pitchers don't face lineups a lot, right? You've got guys who, you get four at-bats in a game, you might face four different pitchers. If you had five, you know, you're going to face four different pitchers probably almost every night, given the way things go. It's hard to measure a starter and see what he's got and see all his pitches and, you know, figure him out by the third, fourth at-bat. You know, something I looked up a few weeks ago, we probably talked about, you know, just the idea of why it's so hard to compare nowadays. If you look up the damage that guys like Mantle and DiMaggio did the third and fourth times they faced a pitcher, or fifth times they faced a pitcher, you know, it's extraordinary. They did a lot of damage late in games against tiring starters. Well, you don't face tiring starters anymore. Aaron Judge, you know, got lucky enough to face Dean Kramer twice last night, but otherwise, yeah, he has faced a pitcher four times in a game, just 10 times in his entire career, where, you know, Mantle did it 1,100 times in his career. There are just different reasons for it, and I think we're going to keep continuing to talk about it and the idea of moving the mound back or whatever else you can do, because, you know, the offensive game has suffered. But in the short term here, you still got guys who are going out there saying, okay, I need to figure this out. You know, Brett Gardner is talking last night about trying to figure it out. And, you know, guys who are hitting under 200 aren't saying, okay, well, I guess this is the new norm. They're trying to hit like they're supposed to. And that's going to continue here. And we'll see who's successful and who's not, because you do have at least a few guys who are hitting with, you know, some regularity. So it's not completely impossible, but you do have guys struggling to find it right now. And nobody's sitting there saying, okay, well, I guess this is what we're going to have to deal with. You know, they're trying to figure it out.
Well, you know, in terms of the starting pitching, you know, first time through the order, all right, you're seeing the guy for the first time, seeing what he's got that night. Second time through the order, if a guy's a major league pitcher with any kind of credentials, he's got secondary pitches and he can pitch backwards or he can pitch differently the second time. Third time, that's, you know, you're right. That's when okay, you've seen everything I've got, and I'm getting a little tired, and that's when you can jump on guys. But the philosophy now is you don't see the third time. You go through the order twice, and there's another pitcher in there. So that, I think, accounts for a lot of it, as you said.
Giancarlo Stanton said something a couple of years ago when they were talking about him, you know, coming over to the American League and taking a second run through the league. And the Yankees were encouraged that he was going to become better than, you know, he was the first year simply because of the familiarity. And one of the things he – and his numbers have always trended higher the more times he saw somebody. And this is just doesn't apply to one game, but the principle is still the same. But he said, you know, the more times you see guys, they run out of ways to get you out. So you're seeing what they have, and by the time you get them a third time, it's like, okay, I know what he's got. I know what he's got. You know, I know how he's going to try and get me out, and now I'm in control. And that just doesn't happen right now. Now that's, and that's not even describing. I mean, we haven't even talked about, you know, the velocity, how much harder it is to hit right now. The defensive positioning is more sophisticated. So even when you hit it right at, you know, hit it right on the nose, you might be hitting it right at somebody. So yeah, there's a lot of different reasons, and I think you're right in one aspect that because it's still fairly early, a quarter of the way through the season, this could change. And we've gone through different cycles of it. There was a Sports Illustrated cover story in 2004 that described a lot of great hitters, including Hall of Famers, like Hall of Famers to be, like Derek Jeter and Chipper Jones, who were struggling through the first third of the season. And that was the year that, if you remember, Jeter had an 0-for-32 slump. It was May 25th, I think, and he was still hitting under 200. And you know, this isn't one of the home run all or nothing guys. This is a guy who's used to putting his bat on the ball and getting hits, and he wasn't. So you know, by the end of the year, I think he finished 5 hits short of hitting 300. He hit 330 something the rest of the way. So there's enough time to. You know, do something with that. But, you know, in the early going here, it's hard to see that because you're seeing a lot of swings and misses from everybody around the league. And all everybody says is it's harder to hit now, and nobody is trying to make it easier to hit.
Well, Sweeney, speaking of Derek Jeter, I know his fans will be pleased to know that Derek Jeter has finally sold that white elephant of a house he had in Tampa Bay that Tom Brady rented for a while. And I think he was asking $29 million. He got only $22 million. So poor Derek, but the house is sold.
I offered him 18. That was the size I could.
Oh, geez, you came close, Sween. If you, yeah, you know, if he held out a little bit longer, maybe. But I guess he had to get rid of it. But to Aaron Hicks, and you know, this guy, 7 years, $70 million. I'm looking at that contract, going, boy, that's a bargain for a guy with his skills. But then, you know, you look at the injuries and. What's the best and the worst scenario? I guess the best scenario is he waits and he's on the IL for 10 days and he's back and it's healed and he's 100%. What's the worst case scenario with this torn situation in his wrist?
Well, Mark Teixeira lived both the best and worst scenarios with it, and I exchanged messages with him last night about it. I mean, I think a lot of us remember in 2013 that Teixeira was hurt during the WBC in 2013. He missed the first 2 months of the season. He came back for only a few weeks. He played 15 games, and then he needed surgery and missed the rest of the year. It was a torn sheath in his wrist. They treated it conservatively. He missed the 2 months, came back, re-aggravated it, and then needed surgery. He had surgery in July and missed the rest of the season. That's the worst case scenario. But as Teixeira reminded me yesterday, he also tore a sheath in the other wrist in April of 2009. Had forgotten all about it, and I think most of us did, because Teixeira played 156 games that year. He had 39 homers, drove in 120 runs. He was second in the MVP voting in the American League. He had a great season in April of 2009 for the torn sheath in his wrist. He had a cortisone shot, missed a few days, and he was off and running, good to go. So as he said, you know, this is tricky. You could miss a few, you could be out a couple of days or weeks, or you could be out the whole year. There's really no way of knowing right now. You just have to see how he responds to it. And I guess the way that they test for it, or it reveals in the test and the MRIs and stuff, it's not a grade the same way as you say, well, this is a grade one strain, a grade two strain, and you measure the severity of it. He's, you know, Hicks kind of has to go through this. And as, you know, Teixeira told me, it's, you know, you're not going to know yet. And it, this could be short term, this could be long term. He lived them both. And we just have to kind of wait and see here.
Yeah. Well, you know, with Hicks, a lot of people tend to be pessimistic because he doesn't seem to heal up and he seems to have a lot of different things going on. So let's hope that it's the lesser, because if he is going to be out a substantial length of time, what's the move? Is there a trade? Is there somebody in the minors who can fill that spot for a substantial period of time? What are you thinking?
Well, you know, and it's funny because one of the things that they had talked about even just briefly last night was the idea of, okay, maybe, you know, you're going to have to put Giancarlo Stanton in the outfield here and do something with that. But then he ends up with a tight quad that takes him out of the lineup last night. And like, okay, he's probably not going to see the field anytime soon. And right now, you've got Brett Gardner and Clint Frazier, and they're healthy and they're playing. Problem is they're playing poorly,
not playing
right?
Well,
they're not
yeah.
hitting. So
yeah.
You've got Miguel Andujar, who has taken reps in left field to try and increase his versatility. You know, he was 0 for 15 before he got a single last night. If any of these guys start hitting, they're going to be fine to play left field. You know, Brett Gardner's playing center field, and you're going to leave, you know, you're going to give him a chance there. Esteban Florial is one of the top Yankees prospects, but he's barely played above A ball. He has played a week and a half this year, Double A, and then they moved him up to Triple A. And it's not because he's hitting 800. He had very well the first week of the season. He had four homers and got off to a good start. And then this week, he, I think, was 1 for 13 before they moved him up to Triple A. He is a confident player now, and you know he's showing a lot of good signs. But and maturing, but he still has now played less than 2 weeks above A ball to ask him to come up to the big leagues and make an impact. I mean, that's asking a lot. I think you are going to have to look outside the organization here if Hicks is a long-term injury to see what your options are. And I think trade markets might start to open up a little bit earlier than they normally do, because a lot of times you hear general managers talk about, okay, you got the draft the first week in June, and then you kind of move into the trade market, kind of see what's there. Well, the draft is moved back another month into July now, so you probably get the most flurry of activity at the trade deadline at the end of July anyway, like you always do. But I feel like, especially with a lot of teams finding players struggling to hit, you're going to look to move some pieces around. But the other problem here, Richard, is that, you know, the mediocrity that's settled in around the league is that you don't have a lot of bottom feeders yet. You've got a lot of teams still kind of shuffling around in the race. So in order to cherry pick from the teams at the bottom, you know, they're not all going to be out of the race yet. I mean, you've got, you know, the last place teams in the East and the West in the American League are not that far out of first place. So I don't know how you determine yet where you can pick from, but they might have to improve some outfield depth at that point. I think the biggest thing here is there is an opportunity here for Miguel Andujar and Clint Frazier, were two guys that Yankee fans are very excited about. Give them a chance to play and see what they can do, right? Well, they have chances to play right now. They're not doing anything yet. This is a frustrating part. Clint Frazier has had plenty of at-bats. He could help this if he starts to hit. Brett Gardner has to start to hit. Gary Sanchez is going to get some at-bats still again. He has to start to hit. All of these guys have to do something. And, you know, it'd be different if these guys were all shelved with injuries that knocked them out for 3 or 4 months and you really had to make a lot of moves. But you've got healthy players here. You've got to, you know, that's kind of what you have to roll with first.
Final thing, Sweeney, the COVID situation. You know, we had a caller before the top of the hour, our friend Dan from Danbury, and he's suggesting the vaccine's not working, to which I counter, well, if it's 95%, it's not 100, and there will be 5%, but it just seems it's concentrated on the Yankee team, guys who have been vaccinated, who have tested positive, and you wonder, did they get a bad batch? Why? You know, this particular group, so many of this particular group, any thoughts, theories? I know you're not a doctor, but any thoughts on this?
Let me start by saying that neither you nor Dan or I are doctors, okay?
Right.
So let's just get that out of the way first. I think from what everybody is saying and what I'm reading and hearing, you know, let's remember that they are all asymptomatic except for one who had minor symptoms, and that can be traced to actually being vaccinated and having, you know, lessening. You know, let's remember, you get a flu shot, it doesn't keep you from getting the flu, but it's a whole lot less, you know, it's not as hard on you when you do get it. Same principle applies here. They're also still getting tested a lot. And so those tests, you know, they might have gotten it somehow and the tests come back positive, but again, all asymptomatic and then, you know, goes away quickly. So that can be traced to actually being vaccinated versus, you know, where we were a year ago, where if you tested positive, there's, you know, the hospitals were being overrun with people because of all the problems that they were having. So, yeah, that's the short I'm not a doctor answer for you. The vaccines are working because, you know, 8 people in the Yankees got it. None of them ended up in the hospital on ventilators.
Well, maybe you can be like Bobby Brown when your baseball career is over. You go to medical school and get your degree, and then 20 years from now we'll have you on and you say, well, I am a doctor, and I
Well, that's my prerogative, isn't it?
Yes,
that's a different Bobby Brown.
We'll talk to you soon, Sweeney. Thanks,
Richard.
All right, Sweeney Murdy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.